Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Wario Will.
I must say, I am very sad we're going to the final season of Supernatural coming in 2020. And also news, I'm just gonna say, in gaming news, look at what happened to they did to my little boy.
First of all, isn't he like 20 years older than you? So I'm pretty sure that he's not your boy.
Hey, regardless, he is a man. He's a good man, sir.
that's debatable depending on the game you play, but whatever. And not crying at all is Tellius Tyler.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We're recording a podcast. So I was totally caught up in Will's beautiful and sentimental intro. Hey,
good,
Switch
thank
remodels
you.
Are coming.
Me.
Get excited instead of being down.
Potentially. Not confirmed yet. But, yeah, we got a lot of interesting stuff to talk about tonight. So we're going to start it off with, what have you been playing? And I want to get it started off this week because I have finally not played... Okay, I gotta say that again. I have finally played something that is not Tetris 99 or Fire Emblem Heroes. It's been 84 years. Not really, it's only been like a month. And I would have been playing it otherwise, other things, but some people haven't contacted me to play Smash Brothers. Of course, I was at C22 last weekend, so I'll take the hit on that one.
Yeah, how was that anyway?
It was amazing. I had a great time. Made some good connections that I'm hoping to cash in on, literally. and a lot of great Nintendo cosplay. I'm talking steampunk Mario crew. I did see a Ness, Tyler.
Oh, good. Ness is a
And for the first time ever, I know you two saw this when I posted on Twitter. For the first time ever, Ike Vanguard cosplay.
Yeah, that was good.
I mean, I
didn't know what he was doing with the stubble, though. Ike doesn't have stubble.
Who cares?
I cared, Todd.
Oh, come on.
It was good. It was very good. But the stubble, like, he put stubble on, like, I know he had a look at the character when he made the costume, because it was
obviously
really good outside of that. But he gave him stubble for no reason.
There's always variants. That's the cosplayers. You can have variants.
Yeah. And he might have had it on naturally and just didn't want to shave it off.
No, okay, maybe.
Yeah. Anyway, but I literally saw this guy from like 30 feet away, and I like ran to him, and he was walking away, so I stopped him so I could get the picture, because I've honestly never seen an Ike cosplay. But there was a go. Oh, and Will and Tyler, you'll appreciate this one. I was at a karaoke session, and there was a May cosplayer there.
Oh, that's cool.
I know! Oh. I'm like, of all the people, Fire Emblem characters I would expect to see, Lucina, Crom, Marth, Ike, all of them, I would never have expected May.
Oh.
And I'm pretty sure, I can't remember when it was, but I saw Legendary Lin. Like, not Brave Lin, but regular Legendary Lin.
With the green and the fur, the much more the furry. Okay, good.
Was the May cosplayer on the top of her game?
It wasn't as good as the Ike's one, but it was still, you could tell it was May. It was just her
and you
armor...
would say she was still hyper.
Oh,
let's go.
Absolutely. Well, of course, she was keeping herself contained because the karaoke was going to start, but, yeah, it was just amazing. And I could tell she was happy when I noted that she was May. So that was really cool. But lots of great Nintendo cosplayers, to all of you Chicago cosplayers who were there at C2E2 last weekend. Good job. Even if I didn't see you, I always enjoy going to cons just to see the cosplays, and this year did not disappoint. A non-Nintendo cosplay I want to call out, there were, you know, Pacific Rim?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw three, not life-size, obviously, but human-size, perfectly modeled Pacific Rim cosplayers. It was amazing. Like, it was Uprising cosplayers, but still, it was just the detail and the size was just... wow. So yeah,
I like how you're always rocking the Pokemon trainer garb.
Oh yeah. I impressed a lot of people, and one person was like, "Oh, hey, look, it's the kid who never grows up." And I go, "Watch it, I'll beat you with a Pokemon I got in this ball." They go, "Who you got, Superman?" Superman's not a Pokemon. I don't care. Gotta catch them all. Yeah, I have a Superman bouncy ball in the my Pokeball just to throw people off. Gets them every time. So going back to games. So I wanna note Tyler first off before I talk about the new game I've been playing. I am very, very close to giving up on Heroes. It's getting close. And CT-R2 really nailed the home for me because while I was in my hotel room, I forgot that there was a Tempest Trial going on. So usually I'm all about the Tempest Trials because I'll get a new character and I'll get a bunch of orbs to summon. And we just found out about Yune, a new art Yune, not like Micaiah Yune. Mm-hmm. And I was very excited about that. But during C2E2, I couldn't be bothered to do the Tempest Trials. I'm not. This will be the first time in forever that I'm not going to get, over 50,000 points to get everything, and I just don't care. And then I saw Bunny Loki.
Yeah.
And I'm like, nope. I mean, this is the limit. This is absolutely the limit. They literally found a way to put more clothes on her and yet have less clothes on her and still have her be the most suggestive thing this side of Will. So, I mean, I had, ironically, the bonus characters, I had none of them going into the trial. I had Bunny Kamiya, but she wasn't one of the bonus characters. I had to do a couple rounds, get silver Loki, then I leveled her up, then I upgraded her, then I shot her up to level 40. And of course, eventually I heard that conversation, and she's basically talking about getting naked with you. It's just like, what is going on here? This isn't supposed to be okay, I'm going to go British dad here. This is supposed to be a kid's game. My gosh, man. What the bloody heck is going on here?
I have no idea why you need to go British for
it's
that.
It's a teen's game, sir.
Yeah, it's just that character is like the worst character in the history of Fire Emblem. So it's not, that's just what she's there for. Yeah. And I agree. I hate that whole idea of a character. It's very cheap and easy to do, and it's just kind of appealing to that, just to I don't want to say the lowest common denominator to insult people, but that's what came to my mind, the lowest common denominator.
Yeah.
Just sad.
Yeah. I get you. I thought, oh man, I kind of wish I had Heroes on my phone just because I want to try to get Yune, but then I realized, wait, I would have to collect orbs, and I really don't feel like doing that. I think it's cool that they added her. That was a good addition. But
yeah.
To be fair, all you could just do is just log on and then just quit the game. That's it. All you just got to do is log in.
Yeah. You didn't delete your data, I'm pretty sure.
No, I didn't. If I re-downloaded the app, I would probably just can play it and get annoyed more. So I'm okay. I don't need Yune.
It's just I didn't mind at first the idea of Bunny Loki because I'm like, oh yeah, haha, let's find another way to dress up Loki to look like that. And then I just out of curiosity, just because I could hear Will talking in my head, I decided to do the tap dialogue, and it was, oh my gosh. And then the level 40 conversation with her basically saying, hey, it's okay to be naughty every once in a while and wear outfits like this. I'm like, what kind of game is this? I mean, Tyler, I was literally thinking about the design team, right? They're talking about this. Hey, let's do another Loki one. I'm like, okay, Easter theme, right? It's like, yeah, we can work with that. I mean, what if we put that carrot arrow in her mouth, the carrot arrow in the mouth. They're like, yeah, that's a great idea. I'm like, we need to make her dirty, like more Loki dirty. No, like Will dirty, what would Will want in this situation? And then they just wrote all the dialogue to please Will, and I'm like, gosh dang it, Will. Moving on. I'm not letting Will talk. Moving on.
I mean, while we're on the topic of it, I mean, yes, granted, of course, with the whole bunny themes and all that, sure, because again, in nature, bunnies are like that in real life. Get it? Yes. But yeah, granted, the whole story wise of the Tempest Trials is okay, so, but you gotta give props, also kind of balancing things out as well. We're going to other bunny characters, especially with Bunny Bruno.
No.
Just
No,
Come on.
Why is Marissa there? Paula is the only one that makes sense. And don't get me started on Paula's art. All right? No. No. And we're moving on. We're moving on. We are moving on. Anyway, the other game I play, obviously Tetris 99. And once again, I have gotten my third first place finish. Conveniently after the last podcast we did, which has now seemed to be a running theme, so I'm fully expecting to get my fourth number one finish tonight. And then I have officially been playing a new game in Power Rangers Battle for the Grid, which, if you recall, is the Power Rangers fighting game in 3v3 style, like Marvel vs. Capcom. And my early impressions are, it's alright, you know? It's not Smash Brothers. It's, dear gosh, it's not Smash Brothers.
right.
Here's the difference between Smash Brothers and Battle for the Grid. Battle for the Grid has 7 characters. Smash Brothers has 80.
Right.
Going to have 80 by the end of it. So, like, literally, they picked... I mean, the point is that they were mimicking a comic arc that happened recently by Kyle Higgins called Shattered Grid, where basically all the Power Ranger dimensions folded in on each other, and they all got to interact with each other in some way, shape, and form. It's too complicated to talk about, trust me. But they decided to take, like, you know, the best Rangers from certain seasons and put it all together. The problem is that 3 of the characters that are playable are from the comic arc. And I guarantee you that millions of Power Rangers fans out there did not read Shattered Grid. And so they're going to wonder, what the heck is a Ranger Slayer? What the heck is Lord Draken? And why is Zack have a gun? Like a big machine gun. And that's because it's not Zack, it's the Mastodon Sentry from the comic arc. It's like, okay. And then, of course, you have regular Red Ranger, Jason Lee Scott. That's great. And then you got regular Tommy, Green Ranger. Perfect. You've got Magna Defender, sure. You've got Megaforce Yellow, okay. That's recent. That's good enough. And then you have Cat Lynx from SPD, who was a ranger for all of 2 episodes. So why is she here? And then you got Goldar, not a ranger, but why not? Got to have a bad guy in there. It's just that's the entire roster. That's the entire roster as it sits right now. Like, that's not a lot of variety. That's pretty terrible variety. This is from a guy who's watched Power Rangers for over 20 years. Like, there are so many better choices they could have made. The roster should be at least double what it is now. And, you know, the 3v3 style is cool, but when you're facing the same group of characters, you know, 5 or 6 times over arcade mode, it gets a bit boring. Like, how many times do I have to kill the Red Ranger just to get to the final boss? Like, literally, that's literally what you do. Like, oh, I want to fight a new set of characters. Too bad! I mean, again, it's not a bad game. There is actually a lot of variety between the Rangers, which I appreciate. There's a lot of close-range characters, long-range characters, speed characters, slow but powerful characters. They did a good job balancing it, and there's a lot of, like, super flashy moves. It's really fun stuff, but there's a lot of, like, it's the little things that killed them. Like, there's no, like, little to no voice acting. Like, all the voice acting is, like, laughing, like, ha 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 ha, or, like, power swing grunting, ha ha ha. You know, they had the Jason David Frank, the voice of Tommy Oliver, the guy who played Tommy Oliver for infinite amount of seasons on Power Rangers. They had him promoting the game via their commercial, and they couldn't be bothered to have him voice the Green Ranger and Lord Draken. Really?
For real?
Wow. For real. For real. Like, the only thing he does is he laughs when Lord Draken comes into the field. And it's awesome, and you can tell that's the JDF laugh, but that's all he says. He does not talk in the game. No one talks in the game. And hey, I know what you're thinking. Well, they couldn't get the original actors. I understand that. And some of these characters don't have voice actors, technically. But, you know, you're telling me that you couldn't find a good sound-alike, you know, like every other game in existence that does fighting titles.
Yeah, like, even for fighting games, I'm guessing, like, since Battle for the Grid is kind of like a bit of a budget title fighting game, I'm guessing it couldn't really spare much on the VO budget, I'm guessing.
Well, that's apparent, because, like, sometimes they're, like, their super ultra moves, they have, like, minimal sound effects. And you're like, this is the time where, like, the sound effects should be going crazy. And yet, like, one of them is, like, Jason just, like, charging up a punch and then literally firing a Tyrannosaurus head, which is actually really, really cool looking. But, like, the sound effect buildup, it's nothing. It's just him stepping back, close-up camera shot, and then the attack goes off. And it's like, this is where the personality is supposed to be. Like Tyrannosaurus punch or something like that. Give me something. Oh, wait, I hear British dad. Give me something, man! Give me something!
I'm guessing it's just the budget, yo. Didn't have enough for the budget.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't expecting Smash Brothers or anything like that, but when you have a good base, you really should strive on the little details to make it that much better. I mean, I'm sorry, but you should. So, like, I will be reviewing it for the site. Right now, I'm leaning towards, like, a 3.5 out of 5. You know, it's solid enough. It does have good online play. I played it myself a couple times in online mode. I had no lag, which is actually pretty good for a budget title game. And, you know, it's good enough, but it could have been so much better.
Yeah, I didn't even know this was a game that was coming out, to be honest. I mean, I'm not a Power Rangers fan, so...
Hater!
Yeah, I've never been into it ever since I was a little kid. My older brother wasn't into it, and therefore I wasn't into it.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's one I don't really feel like I missed out on. You know, like, I don't like Harry Potter, and I don't really... Like, I rarely feel like I missed out on that one, but sometimes I feel like it would be nice to know a little bit about Harry Potter, because every single person my age does. But Power Rangers is one that I don't really feel like I missed anything.
Really? Then wasn't the whole Sentai theme? Wow.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is the same sort of thing. Like, I never cared about them growing up.
Oh, wow.
And, like... I've enjoyed the movies because Captain Toad Taylor and Andross Alex love the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Fun story. They almost beat each other up in our garage arguing over which one was the best.
Okay, hold on. Stop. When you say the movies, what are you talking about? Are you talking about the original, like, trilogy? Are you talking Michael Bay?
Oh, no, the original one.
Okay, so, thank well, goodness.
Like, God.
The one,
God.
Okay, so I mean, I would never describe any of them as good films. You know, like,
the one that they were
beating each other up before we went over came out in, like, 2006. I think it was the one where Raph was, like, in that mech, or in that metal outfit. And
oh, yeah,
was,
that
like,
was the animated one, the animated movie. Right.
I think it was just called TMNT.
Yeah, it was.
Anyway,
he became his own vigilante called, like, the Night Watcher or something.
Yes, that's the one. That's the one. Yeah, but, like, I mean, so I don't hate those movies, because especially if I watch it with them, I can see they're super into it, so I enjoy that. But, yeah, I don't know. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Power Rangers just weren't for me.
Oh, wow.
What a childhood you did not have. My God.
Well, I mean, I had SpongeBob, and I had...
Not a substitute at all.
I mean, I didn't need the action hero type of thing, because I had Sonic the Hedgehog. That was like my outlet right there.
Sonic the Hedgehog and Pokemon, is that all that you have? Wow.
I really didn't play Pokemon growing up either. I was very much a Sonic, Mario, and Donkey Kong. Those were really my three, particularly Sonic and Donkey Kong.
See, I was actually, you know, weaving in and out of depression today, but now I can smile knowing that my childhood was infinitely better than Tyler's, even with all the crap that I went on, because I had Power Rangers, and I had the voice and guidance of Zordon making my life better and everything, knowing that the power is within us all, and that the power will protect us forever and everything, and knowing about the power of family via Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. My childhood was better than Tyler's, confirmed.
I mean, that's fair. Well, that is a fair. But how many hours have you spent in the Chow Garden? Like, have you spent days upon days?
Literally,
so that's where I learned
zero.
About family. That's where I learned about family. The hard knocks of the Dark Garden. And seeing...
oh my God, the end. Yeah, during the Dark Garden, because I actually, it's if not one of the first few experiences back in childhood where I experienced death, where actually one of my childs actually died.
No, yeah, you had a child die.
Yeah, I saw, like, why does he have the shell? Is a gray black.
Oh, that's so sad. Bulb. How did he die? I thought it was impossible to get red or the gray cocoon. It was always a reincarnation.
No. Unfortunately, I was one of the unlucky ones. I guess it's like, I think it was actually one of my dark shells that's like, I guess wasn't cared, because I was like one. Because my brother and I shared the same file, and I was cared for, like, one of my orange chests with the phoenix growth on all that. So yeah. I pretty much, like, buffed it on one child, yeah. But yeah, that was like part of my first experience with that. I was like, no, bro, like
Yeah,
that
well,
was
it's a
hard.
school of hard knocks. The Chao Garden is, and listen, you learn what it's like to the agony of defeat in Chao Karate and Chao Race, seeing that
Oh,
smug little immortal neutral Chao in the Jewel Races that beat you, or in the Challenge Race, like just seeing him on first in the podium and your Chao in second, sad. It teaches you. It teaches you, and it's pain you never want to experience again.
yeah.
But then, on the converse, the joy of victory, finally knocking out Flash in the expert, or not in the, is it, I think it might be master, the top level of Chao Karate. When you finally knock out Flash and you see your son, wear the belt, nothing better than that.
Now, before we say chow to this topic, don't you two need to talk? Ah.
Funny, funny.
Yeah,
Well, for
blame the
me,
host.
like, it's kind of been on the light side of it, on the gaming side as well. Like, I mean, again, usual as I've been playing Fate. Like, of course, I'm happy with Yuna. Got 160 points ready and waiting. My ghost getting the Tempest spells, sure, all that story wise, and plus with the bunnies. Again, it's bunnies, it's spring season. What do you expect? But also on the gaming side of things is like on the PS4, actually like going into a new series, and my friend really just wants me to like try the series. I actually bought the upgraded expanded version of Trails of Cold Steel for the PS4. Like, if for the uninitiated, the Trails of Cold Steel is basically a long line of, it's just one of a long line of the Trail series, Trails of Sky, Trails of Here, yeah, Trails of Heroes. Is like, it's a very like long expanding series from Nihon Falcom. And from what I've seen so far, I mean, I play a little bit, like, it's a very deep, like, nothing too complicated, but it's also a very deep combat RPG system. And like I'm not really known too familiar with the Trail series, but I've seen the gameplays, and like basically, like if anything, I can take anything out from the Trail series, it's basically they pay really pay attention to the detail, because like if, when you talk to the NPCs, they will have different things to say. It's not just a repeat NPC like text box over and over. These NPCs will have their own lives, their own stories, their own side quests each time you talk to them every single chapter. So that's one thing I'm very aware of. So again, trying out Trails of Cold Steel, trying it out and see how it is. And so far, combat system's pretty deep. It can be hard, but it can be like just gotta learn it really. So overall, I'm trying it out, and Trails of Cold Steel may be something to look forward to. So that's what I'm doing, and yeah, overall it's just a very light gaming side of things. I mean, just playing briefly on Devil May Cry 5, but overall not much, honestly.
Well, I have also not been playing much. I can relate to you there, Will, but I do have a great story to tell.
Oh.
So, last week I was down the beach visiting my family for my dad's 59th birthday. My siblings
Oh.
came down, and my older brother and I, we're bit of we're bitter rivals, because we're 2 years apart. We've been bitter rivals since we were born, and I'm the best Smash Bros. Player in the family by a pretty good margin, I would say. But the last time we played, when I went up to New Jersey for Christmas, we had our honor duel, and I beat my brother 5 times in a row. But the final fight, Marth versus Donkey Kong, my best versus his best, he beat me on a last hit scenario. And for the next 3 months, I just had nightmares about that fight. That he just hit me with a stupid, ridiculous back air to take my final stock, and all I wanted was revenge. So down the beach, he comes down, and I propose the challenge, and we ran right back, went to Congo Jungle, Marth versus Donkey Kong, and I unloaded the most brutal thrashing in the history of Super Smash Bros. I mean, we play 3 stocks. I may have gotten hit twice the entire match, and it was so satisfying. So after that, I got one W under my belt. Then I went over to NES, and I've got another W under my belt. The W's just kept piling up, and the hours just kept piling up. At the end of the night, we had played for like 2.5 to 3 hours. I lost one fight, and I had 83 kills. And my older brother had like 22 or something like that. And I was so satisfied, and I just felt so fulfilled after that. There is nothing even at 25 and 27, better than just thrashing your older brother in anything, but particularly Super Smash Bros.
That is pretty good. I like that. Yeah. That reminds me of a time where my sisters went before when she was dating her now husband. I talked about how I was pretty good at Guitar Hero. And she looks at me like, are you freaking kidding me? And she goes, Tyson is great at Guitar Hero. I'm like, okay, I see where this is going. So we go and we play Guitar Hero. And I'm like, okay, we're going to do pro face off. That way we do the same notes and no one can say we had a harder thing. He goes, okay, that's fine. So we do the first song, I win. We do the second song, I win. And then he goes, okay, look, you're playing on medium difficulty. I usually play on hard difficulty. So let's just do face off. I can go my difficulty, and then we can see who's really better. I'm like, okay. And so I let him pick the song, and I can't remember what song he picked. So we just started doing it. I win. And my sister's watching the whole time, and so we get done. I put down the guitar, and I look at Ashley and go, oh, yeah, he's good at Guitar Hero.
So cocky.
Yeah, and then this other time I played a More Than a Feeling by Boston, and
yeah,
I did it in front of Tyson, cleared 100%, didn't miss a single note.
Guitar Hero 1 you're talking.
Yeah, oh yeah, it was a classic. We were in the classic era then. And I played in front of Tyson and he was watching me, and once I cleared it, I turned around, I saw him still looking at me, and I took the guitar off, and I just dropped it to the floor like it was the mic. And I'm like, what? So yes, I understand. I understand, Tyler, what you did there.
It's just, it's the best. It really is.
It is. It is. Yeah. The only thing more glorious is when I beat you in a triple threat match through sanctioned rules and cheats, and me and Will teaming up against you. I don't care.
That, God, I hate that
you
so
lost
much.
That way. It's still a loss.
It is, and I do get extremely salty after every single loss. Just so you know, so that should make it even more satisfying.
It
just doesn't matter what happens or how cheap it feels. If I lose, I am instantly salty. We were playing tennis before I got on the podcast, me and my buddies, and I was playing great. My partner, not so much. We lost, and I am so mad about it. Like, it's been like 3 hours. Like, it's really not that serious. And yet, I really am frustrated.
I get frustrated when I lose Tetris, like, really early because of, like, everyone targeting me. I'm like, I knew I could have gotten out of this, but you guys keep piling it on. Like, what the heck?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, it's the worst. I hate losing so much.
So
hard.
All right. Well, enough of that. We've had our fun, and so we've had a rather interesting news week with a bunch of stories crossing over from a bunch of different genres. So it's time to go down the warp pipe, and let's start with Mortal Kombat 11, which has had a quite an interesting set of news over the last 5 days or so, 5, 6, 7 days or so, because at C2E2 they confirmed a new character, they confirmed a returning character in Noob Saibot, who is a classic and has absolutely brutal moveset. I mean, they're really going violent on this one. It's not even funny. Okay, yes, it is. It actually is.
Really
it's,
come on. It's kind of the sense of it, yeah.
Okay, well, I saw this meme. Okay, if you guys don't know, there's another piece of news is that the One Piece game that's coming out. So in the U.S., they're having this censored hot tub scene, even though all the women are actually fully clothed, you know, unlike Fire Emblem. And,
hey.
And yet, you know, in Mortal Kombat, they're having, like, blood and gore and Baraka eating brains. And so I saw this meme that showed one of the One Piece ladies, again, in full fine bathing suit, nothing revealing, talking, and they go, censored, Baraka eating brains, uncensored. Like, that's the difference, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, so we got Noob Saibot coming in, which is a fan favorite. But then, I would argue a big twist, the first DLC character has been unveiled for the game, and it's Shang Tsung. The reason this is a twist is, of course, Shang Tsung is a longtime Mortal Kombat character, and for him to just be a DLC character is a bit odd. But, not only is it Shang Tsung, it's Mortal Kombat movie Shang Tsung with the original actor reprising his role. Glorious.
Yeah, that was pretty dang amazing. Like, wow, they actually got him back again. I mean, I remember him actually doing the live action Mortal Kombat. Like not in YouTube on YouTube, not the original film,
Yeah,
but on YouTube.
oh, what was it called?
Yeah,
Yeah,
I
that
forgot the
one.
name as well.
It was the Machinima series.
Right,
Yeah.
right. So yeah, just kind of go full circle, like actually bringing a classic. Ah, that's paying service right there. So props to you, Ed Boon. Props to you.
Yeah, it was just the fact that they got him. Oh, here we go. It was a Kari Hiroyuki Tagawa.
Yes, Tagawa.
Yeah.
Tagawa, yeah.
Yeah. He's got that voice. All right, like his voice is what sold you on Shang Tsung in the movie. You know,
Yes, as
fatality. Your
and
soul
yeah,
is
like
mine.
yes, ex yeah, that line
Yeah.
right there is like it sold it. It sold it in the film, which like as much as it's somewhat cheesy, that was probably like one of the good video game movies ever. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, cheesiness aside, it was great, but they got him back. And then a recent story trailer has come out that has confirmed officially Liu Kang, Kung Lao, and Jax are going to be playable characters in the game. And we will see both their past and present versions coming in. And as Kung Lao said to Liu Kang in the trailer, our future is insane. Yeah. Welcome to Mortal Kombat.
And so not go all like go reversing, but like also I just want to briefly spotlight on Noob Saibot, and just want to say that voice from Frank Welker, I can't believe they actually use the claw voice from Inspector Gadget. It's like, really? They're gonna use that voice?
Hey, they brought back the Mortal Kombat actor for. They brought back Tagawa for Shang Tsung. Nothing is off limits. All right. If they think claw voice will work for Noob Saibot, by all means, okay, do it.
Right. And yeah, I just also like the detail when it was faced off against Sub-Zero. Like it is indeed behind the old Sub-Zero form. So very good attention to detail.
Yeah. It's this one's gonna be interesting because, like the new trailer said, it's old school with a K versus new school with a K, because it's Mortal Kombat with a K. So, okay, all right,
Right.
good.
And yeah, I just wanted to just also like point out as well part of the trailer, like jeez Louise, Johnny Cage, that of course you got to go for a nut punch against Kane, classic Kano. It's like
I personally,
that was hilarious.
I thought it was great when older Johnny knocked the glasses off for newer Johnny, and newer Johnny just pulls out another pair of shades. Johnny always has another pair of shades, or when they did their meetup, he goes, "Do I do all my own stunts? I have people for that."
That was a
Poser.
great line. I thought that was funny.
Johnny would say that to himself. He would.
I don't know. Which Johnny Cage do you guys like more? I'm pretty torn. I think I like the older, like the newer version of Johnny
Yeah,
Cage, like the Mortal Kombat
I
10.
like the present version because he's more seasoned now, and he
Right.
understands that he was really a jerk in his, you know, his action hero days. And even though he's still, you know, one of the biggest heroes on the planet and one of Raiden's chosen in the new timeline, the like Mortal Kombat 9 timeline, he understands that he can't be that older Johnny anymore. And so now here's younger Johnny, exactly how he used to be. And he's like, oh crap, I really was like that, wasn't I? He's like, maybe this is why Sonya divorced me, you know? It's like,
Yeah, I
just
wonder
remember.
if we're gonna get young Sonya, and more to the point, what young Sonya's costume will look like. Because not to be Team Will, but I think her current version is way too gray. Like, I miss her more colorful
No,
outfits from
I
back in the
don't know
day.
if we've I don't know if we've seen younger Sonya. But I mean,
We
I ask.
haven't. We haven't. Like, I
So
hope
I mean
that we do.
that is an oddity, but I also think it's funnier to have, you know, younger Johnny, because let's think about it. Has Sonya actually changed at all? I mean,
No.
think about it. Like, it's exactly, Johnny has changed. Sonya has always been Sonya. So a younger Sonya is just the same Sonya, just with less, you know. She's not even gray. She's still blonde. So it's like, what's the difference visually here, except outside of a new outfit? So let's have younger Johnny hitting on older Sonya and just be done with it. All right.
Oh man, that's a recipe for
Oh, it
disaster.
is. That's why I want it. And she's like,
And
why did I marry
worse,
you?
Katana was shown off, young Katana,
Yes.
and yet not confirmed. Like, I'm starting to get nervous. Yeah, I'm starting to get nervous.
She has to be confirmed.
Baraka was an enemy in the last game, and he wasn't playable for God knows why.
Okay, that's a good point. That's a good point. I think they will, just to A, balance things out, and B, Katana is clearly a key part of the storyline, whereas maybe Baraka was just an enemy but not a key member. So we'll see. We still got time. And again, Jax wasn't even shown until the last story trailer. Jackie was, right. Jax. So it's good. Oh my gosh, Jax's finisher. Woo! Rocket propel, like that punch in half.
I just really also like it. Why don't you just keep it just me, myself, and I? Wow, like that ironic in that sense. Pretty funny.
They're really going all out. I love what NetherRealm is doing here. I am totally getting Mortal Kombat 11. It will honestly be the only Mortal Kombat game I have ever owned. I have played plenty, including times when I shouldn't have. Thank you, Heather, my babysitter. Oh no, Mom. Mortal Kombat isn't violent. Punches guy into spikes on the roof. Fatality. So, yeah, but I've played it plenty of times over the years, including one time at DePaul when I was doing research on a fighting game. Honest to goodness research. But I have never owned a Mortal Kombat game. But I
got really into Mortal Kombat 9. I love that game. I played that game online a ton, a lot of ranked matches. I loved Mortal Kombat 9. I didn't get as into 10 because I don't have a PlayStation or an Xbox, but I play them both a decent amount. I'm really excited to get into this one.
Yep, on Switch!
On Switch, which, according to, at least I saw Game Explain at PAX East got their hands on it. They said that in handheld mode, it runs at a steady 60 FPS, which is critical. They said it looks pretty good. So Nintendo wouldn't let them film it for some reason, so that's a little concerning. But if it performs well, like, that's my one fear, is that it's not going to perform well on Switch. I think that NetherRealm knows what to prioritize to make
they've been on Nintendo platforms before. They did the original Injustice on Wii U, and that game ran great. Like, it did.
True.
And it looked
good.
But
it was, at that point, Injustice was a fairly old game. It was, I think, 2 years old by the time when it came, or maybe it was 1 year old.
No, it was the same day. It was the same day release.
Was it really?
Yeah, it was Injustice 2 that didn't come out on the system.
Right.
So, which is a shame, but whatever. But no, Injustice 1 came out the same day, and I remember getting it. So
okay, well, I believe you then.
Okay. Anyway, but yeah, Mortal Kombat again, Mortal Kombat 11 coming out on April 23rd. Now, at the time you are potentially, hopefully, possibly listening to this podcast, it will be time for you to play Yoshi's Crafted World. I almost said Wooly. Yoshi's Crafted World, which has been getting a rather good set of positive reviews. They're saying it's not like the greatest game ever, but it's one that, you know, it's fun, it's adorable, it's Yoshi, so go and have fun. And isn't that what we all want sometimes, just a game to go out and have fun with and not stress out like Smash Brothers or Tetris 99?
Yeah, indeed. Like, it's kind of also in the similar form as Kirby. Like, the Yoshi games, if anything else, is definitely on the easy side of things, and including if you, like, get the costumes, which is basically service armor, like, it only makes the game even more easier. So, like, if it's, like, too easy for you, perhaps it's not going to be the game for you, but if you enjoy, like, something that's, like, very, again, very easy going like Kirby, then, and just adorably cute, then Yoshi's Crafted World may be up your alley. The only thing I've just been hearing is, like, if you want to go for the completionist route, it's not really worth going completing. It's because there is some sort of grind if you want to go to the completion. And that's the only thing that's, like, what people kind of, like, criticize in regards. So it's not as great, but it's not as great as so-called Woolly World, because Woolly World, the unlockables in that thing, plus the animated shorts, was pretty much what sold it for me. So, again, like, but it's still a great game, great product overall from what I've seen so far.
Yeah. And the team did a little bit of an interview talking about the title, and they noted that one of the hardest things for them to do was to nail the visual aesthetic, because they wanted to go for the truly crafted world and be different from the, you know, the Woolly World that they did with the Wii U. I mean, and they said that they had to do a lot of iterations to get it right, but thankfully the Unreal Engine 4, which the game is built on, really made it easy for them to make the visual adjustments. And of course, the Switch is compatible with the Unreal Engine, which is why we're going to get, you know, Shin Megami Tensei 5 on that engine, and a whole bunch of other games. So if this is like the beginning of a great relationship between Nintendo and Unreal, I'm all for it.
Yep.
Mm. Also, they said they have no plans to release any new amiibo for the Yoshi's Crafted World. So sorry.
Good. Because
yeah.
Go ahead, you first.
Oh, I'm glad because I really want to get all the Smash Bros. Amiibos, the new ones, but like I don't want to get any more amiibo, but I want to get all of them. So just not releasing them is just the best option. So it takes away the temptation.
I agree because I still have my four Yoshi Woolly World amiibo, including the Mega Yarn Yoshi.
Oh, I didn't get that one.
That thing is a collector's item. I mean, I put it in the living room. Unfortunately, there's some kind of decolored it, the box, but it's the Yarn Yoshi itself is still okay. But nice. Yeah, as you said, like I'm glad they're not putting any more amiibos for Yoshi because again, while I appreciate Yoshi amiibos because they're just so darn adorable, just the craft ones, Woody ones is good enough for say least. And plus, again, Smash, we got Ken coming up, Daisy coming up. It's like, yeah, I don't need more drain on my wallet, please. Thank you, Nintendo.
Yeah, I just plan on not buying any of them, but then I see them in the store and then I buy them. And I saw, I saw a newer version of Marth, and like I'm so tempted to run back to Best Buy and pick up the version 2 of Marth because his face is actually good compared to version 1.
Okay.
Yeah, like the first wave of Marth amiibos have kind of deformed faces, but the second one looks so good, and like I really almost grabbed it and I decided against it because I had no money, but it was really close.
Okay. I see.
Oh, wait, breaking news, there are going to be...
Nani?
What?
Nani?
Three, five new Yoshi's Crafted World amiibos. Darn! You guys gotta go buy them now. Five!
Hardy, har.
Yeah, there's Yoshi, there's Yoshi 2, there's Yoshi 3, there's Big Yoshi, Micro Yoshi, and Yoshi, like, all stuck together. It's kind of weird looking, to be honest with you. Oh, and there's Yoshi, six Yoshi in a Labo box. That just sounds like a money maker.
Hardy, har.
Yeah, and if that was true, you'd all go buy them. That's why I'm better than both of you. Moving on. So, Will, can I ask you a question? Like a serious question?
Are you ready
to dance through the danger?
Oh, man. Yes, I can't wait. I cannot wait.
We have unexpectedly epic news in the form of WayForward announcing Shantae 5. All right, it's going to be coming out to PS4, Xbox One, which are consoles I kind of heard of before, PC, Apple Arcade, which is very interesting, and of course the Nintendo Switch. And it's coming out this year. Whew. Now, no other details have been given, no gameplay. All we have is a little piece of art with Shantae's hair making the 5. But this is big news because the last game, Shantae Half Genie Hero, was critically praised. It did really well. It was a Kickstarter sensation. And it was my personal game of the year for Wii U when it came out, which, if we're being honest, I mean, was there ever really competition?
Right.
And it was just such a great game. So now that WayForward's able to do number 5 and just do a nice big simultaneous release, I think this is going to be another big success for them.
I mean, heck, man, Shantae is Shantae, and it just kind of shows you that people still love their classic platformers. As much as I'm, like, kind of wishing for another DuckTales, but granted, again, the voice like the pathway and all that, but yeah, having Shantae come back and for the new, the Apple Arcade thing, that's, like, kind of the interesting that for me, it was. But yeah, Shantae 5 coming up, and heck, if I get a chance to see Christina V again voicing Shantae, I'll definitely have her. I'll grab my copy.
There you go. Will, I saw this this tweet earlier today, and it was like list your top 10 best games of all time. I might have to put Shantae Half Genie Hero as my number one because it was such a thought provoking game of like life and transformations. I mean, Tyler, you haven't played this, so if you played Shantae Half Genie Hero, you would understand why it's my number one.
I mean, I don't know where this anger is coming from. So let me explain to our audience. There is a trend on Twitter right now to rapidly list your top 10 games of all time. Now, the key is rapidly. Don't think about it. You just go. You put the 10, you think, okay, here are my 10 favorite games, and go. And you just put down whatever you whatever comes to mind. And like for me, Fire Emblem Awakening came to mind ninth, which was weird because I usually say that's my second or third favorite game of all time. But my number one favorite game of all time instantly was Celeste. Todd has never played it.
He is
an ignorant. I want to say a word that I shouldn't on this podcast, so I won't. And he is just like, really? You put Celeste as your number one game? Yes, I did. Yes, I did. It is the most powerful game I have ever played. I was in a really dark spot when I found that game, and it honestly may have saved my life. So, yes, I will put that as my number one game. Shut up, Todd.
Nah, it's fine. I know you really like that game. I was just razzing you about it. I was a little surprised. I won't lie. It would have easily been in your top 10. I knew that going in, but it's just like it was your number one, and that really just took me aback considering all the other games that I know you love, like Sonic, like Fire Emblem Awakening, and everything. So it just really took me aback. That's all.
My list was Celeste, Earthbound, Paper Mario, Donkey Kong Country 2, Ocarina of Time, Banjo-Kazooie, Sonic 2, Fallout New Vegas, Fire Emblem Awakening, and Ratchet and Clank 3. I would love to see what your lists are. Really, just anybody should tweet us your list, your rapid fire list. Just don't even think about it. Just go. Oh,
not thinking about it. My top three. I can't say 10, but I can say 3. My top three easily would be Path of Radiance, Thousand Year Door, and Kingdom Hearts 2.
On top of my head for me is .hack, Saga, the original .hack, .hack GU, and Persona 3.
Yeah, those are good choices, for sure. I've seen a lot of those pop up several times in the thread that I found. I will say I am proud of myself because 8 of my games were Nintendo games.
There you go. I would have a majority of them being Nintendo games. I can already think of some that aren't, like Kingdom Hearts, Arkham City would probably be on there. I loved that game. I feel like there was another one. Maybe Sly Cooper. It just depends on like how far we get. Of course, Twilight Princess would be on there for me. That's my favorite Zelda game. Odyssey was really good. I wonder if I put Odyssey on there. I might have to do the list, and we'll just see how rapidly I can think of my list. We'll just have to see. I usually never say what my favorite game is. I say Path of Radiance, but I'm not really sure. But if I had to choose, it'd definitely be Radiance because that game meant a lot to me. So.
Yeah, that's a great one. I usually will put that one in there as well. I don't know why Awakening wasn't like the first game that came to my mind, but
because you had an emotional connection to Celeste.
Yeah, you know, I mean, yeah, Celeste would be number one, but Celeste and Earthbound are 1 and 2, and then the rest kind of just, I guess, are a mood thing.
There you go. All right, so let's move on to let's make a deal, or specifically, how would we like to get you a deal? Because apparently, the good people at Twitch Prime have decided to team up with Nintendo, and if you get or have Switch, okay, I gotta read this right. Okay, if you are a member of Twitch Prime right now, you will have the ability to get a free Nintendo Switch Online subscription at no extra cost. It says you can get initially 3 months for free, followed by another 9 by staying a Prime member to claim the second part 60 days from now.
Wow.
So, yeah. So if you stay with Twitch Prime for technically 3 months, you will get a year's subscription to Nintendo Switch Online for free.
Mm-mm. And also, just to compliment that, but because remember, if you're also part of Amazon Prime as well, you also can get with the Twitch Prime subscription as well. Yeah. So if you also got Amazon Prime, it also correlates.
Yeah, you just have to link your account to Twitch, but they said there are some restrictions in certain countries. So I think this is a fascinating little bit of cross promotion there. I mean, this is definitely outside the box thinking.
Could you imagine Nintendo doing this even like 3 years ago? Like it just seems so.
Yeah, right.
It makes you wonder if it's because of like possibly low subscription numbers. Maybe I don't know.
Well, that's true. They wanted to get more people signing up.
I know, but I saw this and it's like, wait, this is real? Okay then.
I mean, if they make it more available for the general consumers, because again, given to how many Switch users are out there, I guess they just want to like, really expand the number. Because again, granted, when online service was introduced, not many people really liked it. Only those who were really hardcore would bought it, ourselves included. So this maybe is just like, oh, okay, you're also a Twitch Prime user. Okay, here's a complimentary Nintendo Online service just on us because you're a Twitch partner. So, I don't know. It's just like, okay, just yeah, I'm a Twitch Prime user, so might as well get this thing. It's free, so who doesn't like free stuff?
All right, so moving on. Okay, here's an interesting bit of news. We've been talking about how Yacht Club Games has been teasing an announcement soon, and now we know that they are teaming up with Mechanical Head Studios to make Cyber Shadow, which is an 8-bit old school ninja action game, style of Ninja Gaiden and all those other great ninja titles. So. Yeah, and the first trailer for it is out. It will be talked about more this weekend at PAX East, and it looks really good.
Agreed. Agreed.
I don't know. I thought it looked good, but I'm not convinced actually. It
Oh.
looked a little like it looked very old school, which is what they want, but to the point where I thought the character looked like they moved a little stiffly. Like I'd like to get my hands on it because I do believe in the stuff that Yacht Club's worked on, but yeah. I mean, I'm not 100% on board yet.
I mean, aesthetic-wise, I mean, with the way it looks, is just like it's very, if not like a bit more polished up than like the usual Shovel Knight graphics in the sense. So I think it's like kind of what they're going for. We're going to like re very reminiscent to Ninja Gaiden. It's like a bit more polished Shovel Knight, I'm guessing.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I mean it did look true to that retro style. I'm just concerned that it might be too true to that retro style.
Well, it's one of those things where again it's like the first trailer. They're trying to show a lot of things in it. The aesthetic, how it plays, like how what it's supposed to remind you of. And they said it's going to have the platforming elements of Mario with the enemy selection of Contra and of course all the hype fast-paced action of Ninja Gaiden. So, it sounds like something that they're really gonna have fun making, but it's something that yeah, you're right, Tyler. You're definitely gonna want to get your hands on first before truly deciding if it's worth your time. So, I understand you being a little hesitant.
Yeah.
But again, let's look for more trailers and such and details at PAX East this week. And hey, props to Yacht Club doing something not Shovel Knight related.
Yeah, true. I kind of want to take back what I said last week about kind of wanting King of Cards more. King of Cards has never really looked that great to me. So I might be more excited about this than I am about that. Like they've just like drug their feet on that so much that I'm concerned for it. And you know what? Maybe it's better to just turn our focus towards Cyber Force.
Right, and also Yakuza Games. Where's that 3-pack amiibo? I haven't seen this thing yet.
Yes.
It's definitely a long delayed property, so we'll just have to see where it goes. All right, in a very fun piece of news that came out today at the time of this recording, Monolith Soft is recruiting for a Legend of Zelda game.
Oh.
Are you confused? I will explain. During the development of Breath of the Wild, 100 members of the Monolith Soft crew, who are owned by Nintendo, came to help work on Breath of the Wild, mainly in graphical layouts and maps and all that stuff. So now they're apparently getting called back to work on another Zelda game. Not Link's Awakening. It doesn't need that much people because it's a remaster of an older title that's not open world. And not Cadence of Hyrule because that's made by an indie studio. So this seriously points to, let's just call it the sequel to Breath of the Wild or whatever the next mainstream title is going to be called. And Monolith Soft's working on it right now.
Like from what I'm guessing, like it feels like this is basically like adding more development to the next game. I don't think like from what I've seen, I don't think it's Monolith itself that actually will be making this entire new game, new next 3D game. Maybe perhaps they're helping with the Link's Awakening The Link's Awakening parts, the new version, or perhaps it is something that I don't like. While I would like to see like any influences from Microsoft, as again they have dabbled in Zelda before. Like I'm don't think it's gonna be like they can be handling the entire project themselves. And just for record, they have three different studios, so like they could do it, but I'm not wouldn't be surprised if they didn't.
Yeah, I know that they've done stuff with Breath of the Wild. Monolith Soft working on a Zelda game makes me concerned that Will's dream of a Zelda-style RPG is going to come true. And like, I know it could be done well, but I've seen what they do with their games, and they try to pack so much into it, and just not all of it works. I would love to see the next Zelda game go in a more traditional direction. I like the open world, keep the open world, but I want to see some more dungeons, the Hyrule Castle-esque dungeons that you can explore naturally at any time in the game, but they're these sprawling labyrinths filled with things that you might never even see going through them. I would love to see them go in that direction rather than in a RPG heavy way. And I know that just because Monolith Soft's working on it doesn't mean, oh, they're definitely,
And
RPGing it up,
I
but
just want to say, Tyler, careful, your hate for Xenoblade Chronicles 2 is showing in
it
your
is.
comments.
It is showing. That is what was on my mind. But yeah, no, I just I Monolith Soft.
Okay, now like you said, Tyler, this is not proof that they're working on like the story elements or anything like that. If you recall, like I said, with Breath of the Wild, they worked mainly on the graphics and the map design, of which Xenoblade Chronicles 2 had an amazing world design.
It did.
Okay,
It
so
did.
even you
That was
can't
its
deny that.
biggest thing. That was
Okay,
its best. That I loved
so
its world was
and I can
extremely cool.
and I'm looking at it right here. I'm looking at the article that I wrote, and it said that they are looking for artists, technical artists, planners, designers, programmers, and a project manager. So none of that speaks story content or any of that like. So it seems like you are safe from that. And of course, even if by some chance they were working on the story, there's this guy there named Eiji Aonuma. Yeah, he kind of knows Zelda, and he would make sure that they were steered in the right direction should it come to that. But they won't let it come to that because this is Nintendo. And Nintendo proper is going to handle Zelda like they always have outside of Cadence of Hyrule.
Yeah, true.
So have faith, stop hating on Xenoblade Chronicles 2, and just enjoy.
Such a bad game.
It was such a great game. It was a great game. One of the best RPGs I've ever played. Not Thousand Year Door worthy, admittedly, nor Path of Radiance worthy, but it's close. Close. And again, we're missing the bigger point here. We basically have confirmation that the sequel to Breath of the Wild is being worked on right now. All right,
Yes,
that's
that's true.
huge.
That is huge. That's exciting. That could well that we could tie that into our discussion on the remodels at the end here, because that could potentially be a they could be trying to mirror what they did with the first Switch and launch that with the
Would be quite
next
something
Switch
to
software.
say. Maybe.
It would definitely would be quite something to say the least, because like again, we just got as we just got announced that we got have Link's Awakening with the classic top and with 3D dimension sprites for this, and a lot of people like Link's Awakening. So the fact that I'm getting a feeling that perhaps they will be showing off a teaser of the next full-fledged 3D Zelda, like, and just the fact that we're getting something like this for in like 2 years after Breath of the Wild is like, huh. I mean, that's a prediction of mine. It feels like they will show off something,
I
like, to just
disagree.
get out.
I don't think if we were to see something, it won't be until late next year, because they got Link's Awakening right now, coming out this year potentially, and it took so long for Breath of the Wild to even be teased. All right, like yeah, we had the Wii U demo thing that was not even close to what Breath of the Wild looked like. We had them saying yes, we're working on Zelda, but it took so long. Just for that E3 presentation where it was all Zelda and Pokemon Sun and Moon to be shown off. Okay, so they're going to take their time on this. They know the expectations that are now on them because of Breath of the Wild. We aren't going to see this for at least another year.
Yeah,
Guaranteed.
I agree with that.
All right, last piece of news. Persona 5. All right.
Yes.
All right, so Persona 5 showed off, showed off another teaser, because it's Persona, of Persona 5 Royal, which was one of the Persona 5 titles, Persona 5 R. So it's coming, whatever the heck it is. We still don't know, because it's Persona teasing something. And the reason we're bringing this up is that even though it's not confirmed for Switch, apparently in the one of the Smash Brothers data mines, there was a link to Persona 5 Royal. So take that as you will.
Huh. And yeah, just for records as well, like, again, I wrote the article when the trailer first popped up, and again, for Persona 4R, it basically shows a new female character, which basically goes against Phantom Thief of Hearts. So she does not agree with the method that the main protagonist has been doing. So a lot of people have been basically speculating what the Royal means in this trailer. Like, is it going to be an antagonist? Is it going to be something like another point of view? A lot of questions has been basically raised up regarding to who is this girl? Why take an opposite stance of the Phantom Thieves? It's the questions are roaming, and the next time we're going to be getting a new information is during the Persona 5 concert held on April 24th, if I remember correctly. So, like, in the Persona 5 concert. So until that concert happens, we have no idea what's going to happen, but hopefully we'll get our answers and see if it's going to be confirmed for Switch or not. But again, the clues are starting to pop up.
The one big thing is with the Smash Bros. Code. So right now in the characters, wherever you would find the character data on the code, there's a code named Jack, which people are assuming is Joker because of Jack Frost. And also under his costumes, there's a code for Jane. So the belief is that she will be playable in Smash Bros.
As a skin, yeah.
For Joker.
That's what I was thinking too. So
yeah.
But and then why do that though if Royal isn't coming to Switch?
I was so depressed when they didn't announce it for Switch. I was really bummed. I don't know why they like. If it is coming, I would have thought they would have announced it then. And like, it's probably. I feel like it should be coming because of that Smash Bros. Tie-in, but if it's not, maybe it's not.
I don't know. There's a lot going on right now, and I don't know what's going on with Atlus and all these teases for teasers. They teased a teaser, all right. Like that's how far they went. They teased a teaser, and now we have to wait for a concert just to get information and blah blah blah. So, look, I'm just still hoping that we get Persona 5 on Switch. Like, I don't care if it's Royal, I don't care if it's the quote-unquote super version that we're supposed to be getting, which is Persona 5S. It's just we need Persona 5 on Switch.
Yes.
Especially with Joker coming in April, which we should be hearing about soon, because we are literally 3 days from April. How did that happen? How?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm expecting a Smash Bros. Direct sometime in the next 3 weeks.
So.
We'll see. We'll see. All right. So main event time. The big news out of the world is that major sources like the Wall Street Journal are reporting that the Nintendo Switch is going to be getting not one but two new versions. One is going to be a quote unquote casual version of the system, which is for games only, no other major apps or systems outside of Nintendo eShop, obviously. And then there's going to be the hardcore version of the Nintendo Switch, which is boosted graphics, a little bit more refining on the systems, and et cetera, et cetera. And though Nintendo has not confirmed this yet, a lot of people think this might be real. So it's up to us to talk about whether this is what's right for the Nintendo Switch. And we're going to do this in a Nintendo discussion. All right, so let's start it off with this. What do we personally think about this news? Tyler, I want to start with you.
Well, I think that it makes a lot of sense. I'm surprised that none of us mentioned hardware remodels in our Nintendo Switch draft, because that is a huge probable plus, I would assume. But I think it makes a lot of sense to create two different models and create that family of systems, that lower price point handheld only model that's been talked about, and then a slightly more powerful model. Now, the execution obviously is the most important part, the price point, the pro version. How does that work? You know, is it a serious upgrade? Will it make your old Switch irrelevant? You know, questions like that still need to be answered. But I'm cautiously optimistic about it. I think that it's probably a really good thing.
All right, Will, how about you?
For me, it's like, okay, I wouldn't mind buying a upgraded version of the Switch. But at the same time, I kind of feel like, why? Because, like, the fact that, like, you want to get an upgraded performance Switch, it's like the same situation with the 3DS. Like, if you bought an original vanilla 3DS, like, okay, you play these games, but now you get, like, an upgraded version of this of the system. It's like, what improvement is going to be? Is it like, can you play exclusive games like with Xenoblade Chronicles 3DS? Or like, I don't know, I'm kind of a little bit on the torn side of things. Like, I wouldn't mind supporting it, but at the same time, it's kind of like, you're kind of jipping off like the ones who are early adopters, it feels like.
Yeah, for me, we have to reemphasize, this is a rumor. Yes, it's reported by like the Wall Street Journal and such, but it's still a rumor. And until Nintendo confirms it, we're just speculating. But it's been talked about how they're going the 3DS route, whether like the 3DS XL and the 2DS. My question here is, just how much of an improvement will it be? Because could the Switch right now use improvements? Absolutely. Some of the obvious problems with the Joy-Cons, certain internet issues like what Tyler keeps having...
The biggest problem is for me right now is the data storage, the amount of storage space that you have. And that's one thing that this report says that there will be, I think it'll be 128 gigs internal. I should double check that, but I believe that's true. And that would be a huge upgrade.
And then my personal problem was that, like, in certain games, including Xenoblade Chronicles 2, when I'm playing in handheld mode, the resolution will just drop.
Yes.
Randomly, and that was honestly my only significant super problem with Xenoblade Chronicles 2, unlike someone on this show. Anyway,
well, listen, Todd, it was a bad game.
It was not a bad game. Not. You're just a hater who refused to keep playing.
Anyway. Yeah, I got really far. I played it for like 25 hours, and I hated
Amateur.
Like every second
Amateur.
Of it, and I just kept going, waiting for it to get good, and it didn't. I couldn't go any further.
Hater. Anyway. So improving like the handheld screen, you know, there's that. That's true, but it really just boils down to what is the end game here? Like I actually like the idea of the casual one, because, you know, if you're just there to play games and, you know, pick it up and put it down, you don't need much. You just want a simple console that you know will play the games, and that can do it. If you could drop it down, say to, I don't know, 200. That's a seller, guaranteed. You know, you don't have to worry about them looking up anything weird or anything, Will. And, you know, just having fun playing the games, that's good stuff. And I can understand that. But the hardcore one, we're the better graphics one. Is this going to be like the 3DS XL where they try and make enhanced versions of games just for the 3DS XL like they did with Xenoblade Chronicles 3D, where I couldn't play it because it was on the XL. And as far as I heard... You know, it was a little better than the Wii version, but not by much. So you tell me, was it really worth it? And I hope they don't do that, because that's a problem when you had, like, the tiers. Oh, you have to have this tier to get the super enhanced version of Super Mario Odyssey 2, when clearly Super Mario Odyssey worked perfectly fine on the regular Switch. So that's honestly my big concern here, is that if they try and make this super hardcore game, are they going to try and do, like, the tiered levels of, you know, enhancements, where that's where the 3DS XL got their problems. And then you'll notice they rarely did that again, and the only time they did do it was with Hyrule Warriors Legends, which sucked on both versions of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So And the regular version was unplayable, and the 3DS XL version was barely playable. So yeah, good job on that, Koei Tecmo.
Yeah.
So again, we need confirmation. We need details from Nintendo on what the plan is and what's going on here. Mm-hmm. And you can say, wait a minute, Xbox has their family of systems and the PS4 has their family of system with the Slims and the S's and the Pros and the X's and all of that. Like, seriously, get creative with your names, people. I mean, what are they gonna call this? The Nintendo Switch XL? I mean, just go the.
I mean, they might, honestly.
I don't know.
The Switch just looks good. I have it right next to me at all times.
Me
the
too.
Screen is so, the design is really sleek as is. I don't think they can really improve upon the core design. Maybe a bigger, even bigger screen, but then it wouldn't be as portable. I think that they did a great job with this original model. And they could do a better job with a kickstand.
Kickstand.
That's a very basic thing that they could improve.
Yeah, that was one of the reports I heard, though, was that both the basic and the hardcore look like apparently drastically different than the Switch models that we have now, and I'm not sure I like that.
Yeah, no, and I agree with you. I look at it right now, and I think I love the way this console looks. If it's a strict power upgrade, like if you look at those 3DS models, right? The original 3DS did have small screens. Like I didn't realize it until I got the XL, and that was like a whoa! Like this is so much nicer. But the Switch's screen, I think, is a perfect size right now. I mean, maybe if I get that bigger size, I'll like it more. But I feel comfortable with this. I like carrying this around. To me, it would be a strict kind of power increase, and then you're talking about the issue of games, like what third-party games are only available on the Switch Pro. Let's just call it the Switch Pro for now, because I would assume that they do a good job with their first-party games. They wouldn't make their first-party games exclusive, but the third-party games, I could definitely see that getting into trouble with that, where they want to keep up with the next coming wave of Xbox and PlayStation consoles, so they,
and including the Stadia, right?
Yeah, and the Stadia as well. They try to keep up and start getting these bigger third-party games that won't be able to play on the basic model of Switch, and suddenly now you have an irrelevant piece of hardware. This has been a problem that we knew would come when it was announced that the Switch would release kind of in the middle of a console generation. Like, this was an inevitable roadblock. And now that we're approaching it and we're kind of hearing these rumors of how Nintendo's addressing it, it's hard to say if it's the right path.
Right. Because, again, that's one thing that's, like, Nintendo always pride themselves. Like, Nintendo does Nintendo. They always do their own thing. And what they got, they always like do with the best availabilities, like with Breath of the Wild and Super Mario Odyssey. They what limited hardware they can do is, again, it's simply put magical. So when now, because again, I don't really see Nintendo really pushing themselves in the graphical department. I'm sure I wouldn't mind having the extra horsepower to play like Breath of the Wild full 60 frames per second and just seeing the full beautifulness of what it could be. But again, Nintendo actually going into the whole graphical or like the sleeker mode, the smaller or the bigger pro version of the Switch is like Nintendo going into graphical power, like really going into it. It's unheard of it for me.
Yeah, it's one of these things where it could go well. But also, it's a slippery slope because they can't abandon what the Switch is, because that's why it sold 32 million in less than 2 years.
Right.
So they need to be true to what it is. Now, again, I like the idea of the casual one. I like the idea of a slimmed down, you know, slightly refined, you know, improve the kickstand, improve the memory. You know, you could spend a little extra on this, but then, you know, take out some of the software that, you know, the casual gamer won't need. And that's a good idea. But
the thing with the I guess I'm going to call them Switch Mini, Switch, and Switch Pro. So the thing with the Switch Mini is, like the 2DS, it's going to be a more child-friendly device. I don't expect it to look as cool as the regular Switch. I expect it to be a little sturdier. I mean,
yes.
The rumors are there's no Joy-Cons for it. It's just a strictly handheld console. So handheld device. So it's not it's not even a Switch, because a Switch would imply that you can switch it between a a handheld and a home console. The current reporting on the other, on the Switch Mini, is that it's strictly a handheld console. And I agree with you, though, Todd. I do think that that is not a bad idea. I could see parents who don't feel like spending the $300 to get a regular Switch, spending the $199, the $200 to get that smaller one. But then even then, if they release a Pro not long after, they would definitely drop the price of the current model. So then, you know, at what price is it worth the extra $50 to go up and get the regular Switch for your kid? Maybe it is. There's so much positioning and so many release windows that are yet to be revealed that are so important to determining how successful these will be.
It's just, now here's the question before we wrap up. If this is real, do we hear about it at E3, or do we hear about it in a direct before E3?
It feels like this would definitely be like something you want to say for the digital presentation, feels like. Or it could be also work that well as a simple Nintendo Direct, like they did with the Labo. Like, I don't know, it's kind of like, do you want to break the news earlier? And of course, as I said, like, it's a slippery slope. Like, do you want to like break the news now, or break the news during at the biggest game conference and with the props of being great, or just really bashed overall? It kind of has the same effect regardless, it feels like.
Yeah, I think that it's going to be at E3. I think that that's where they'll reveal it. I wonder if they'll do both there. I mean, that seems like a lot to do both there, but maybe they will. I would hope that they would be like the last couple of years, they focus more on the software at E3, but I do expect that's where we'll hear about it.
All right. I think if they do, they'll do... Here's the thing. They'll either do it at E3 and do like a really quick reveal, or they'll do like a Nintendo Direct and have it fully dedicated to it. 10-minute E3 about these new systems. Yeah. So, we'll have to see. But again, until Nintendo reveals this, it's not real. It's not real! So, there you go. And with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler!
Yes, last week we asked you a question. I remember the results. They were 50-50 and then no votes for the top one. But let's see exactly what we asked you. How much will the Google Stadia impact the Nintendo Switch? 0% of you thought a lot, 50% said a little, and 50% said not at all.
Wow.
And this is how many total votes?
Not a lot of votes on this one, only eight total votes. I think people were not sure about you know the Stadia in general.
Yeah, I don't think people weren't excited, and yeah, so I'm not surprised we didn't get much votes on that one. All right, well, let's try and get more votes on this one then. Do you think that Do you think that the new Nintendo Switches are a good idea? Yes, give me hardcore. Yes, get me the casual. No, they shouldn't exist. Not sure. So four answers right there. So, and be sure to include like E3 2019, Tyler, you know, the whole shebang. Let's try and get all the votes possible here. So, let's know your thoughts, and of course, let's know what you think about all the Mortal Kombat news, Shantae 5, Monolith Soft working on Zelda again and making it the greatness that was Xenoblade Chronicles 2 and Persona 5 and all that news and everything else in between. And we hope to talk to you all next week as on our first show of April. Why?
Yeah, we are in April. Right. Holy moly.
So, for Tellius Tyler and Wario Will, I am Triforce Tyler. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We've made it to the end of the level. So, raise the flag.
Long live life in hometown.
Oh, shut up, Will.